Hello, thank you for calling Podcast Phone. For Barely Podcasting, press 1.
Hi, this is Barely from Barely Podcasting Podcast.
Congratulations, you have selected the Barely Podcasting Podcast. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is barely funny.
Blah, blah, blah.
Barely provocative.
Blah, blah, blah.
And barely spontaneous.
So that's what I've been doing at work, trying to match my voice to the sound of the drills and the pressure things and all the gadgets and gadgets.
What? Oh, sorry. Sometimes funny, sometimes provocative. Oh, my bad. The Barely Podcasting Podcast is
sometimes funny. Sometimes provocative.
I like being without any clothes on, first of all.
But don't take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Jen.
And I'm Corey.
And we're from Bucket.
You can find our show on iTunes or on the web at bucketpodcast.com.
But enough about us.
Yeah, because you're listening to Barely on Barely Podcasting.
Take it away, Barely.
And now, your host who's barely just arrived, Barely!
Okay, welcome to the show. Yes, it's Barely. And thanks, Bucket Heads, or no, Bucket Guys, Jen and Corey from Bucket for the cool intro. Now into the rotation. For those of you who have checked out the website and kind of figured 31 would be a little bit late, I'm giving it a shot. This might not be one of my best shows, but hey, I'm giving it a shot because, well, my wife and I discussed everything that had happened, and she actually went back to work today. It is Monday. It is Labor Day. One of the downfalls of being a nurse, but hey, she gets paid a lot extra for being at work today. So, I can give a shot on a show. And also, just trying to get back to normal, I guess you can say. If you don't understand what I'm referring to here, please check out the website at barelypodcasting.com. It really is something I can't even talk about yet, but I'm trying to return back to normal and doing the show on usually a Sunday or a Monday. That's normal for me. So I'm here. I'm getting ready to go. And gee, I'm not even sure what I'm going to do today. So let's just get into it right now. Okay, for those of you who work in a building where you need, like, a passcode thing, well, not really a passcode, but it's like your ID card can let you in, not just, like, by security people, but you have to push it up against, like, a box on the wall or something, and then it'll unlock doors and do all that kind of funky stuff. I'm sure you've seen the people that have those attached to something that's hooked to the belt and kind of zips out and zips in. My wife calls it a zippy zip. I don't know why she calls it a zippy zip, but she does. And I don't have any other good idea of a name for it. I just call it the thing I put my badge on. I've been using one of those since I first started with my company, which would have been a year ago. I'm pretty much at my one-year anniversary at my job. So, yeah, in the past year, I've used this same one. And, oh, man, it was really good. It gave me a lot of extension and all this. It was just perfect. Well, after a year of using it and my little girl playing with it every so often, it broke. So it's like, okay, I need to go out and get a new one. Well, I do know where you can get some cheap ones, and it's usually at like a Target or a Walmart. Fortunately, that night my wife said, I need you to go get me something. So I went out and got it as I was getting some of the other things that I had to get at Walmart. So I have a new zippy zip. Well, I take it to work the next day. I pull it out, full extension to swipe on the swiper thing. It doesn't retract. So I have this thing sitting out that pretty much letting my badge from my belt drag on the floor. So, needless to say, I broke another one within 24 hours of breaking the first one. And at that point, folks, I knew the week was going to continue to be bad. I don't know what that was, but I just knocked something off on the desk. So I'm telling this kind of so-so story, and all of a sudden, the ghosts are making noises. I don't get it. Anyway, So back to the story that I was actually getting to before the ghosts made the noises. So yeah, I broke two of them like really quick, and I still don't know how I broke the second one. But needless to say, for like 10 minutes, I was walking around with my badge dragging on the floor until someone's like, "Your badge is on the floor." I'm like, "What? Oh man!" Fortunately, I didn't try to go into an elevator because that would have just like snapped it in half, and I never would have seen my badge again, and that would have just been bad. So, and I would have also had to have paid for it. So, yeah, I broke two of them, and yeah, I'm a dork because I didn't even notice it.
Come on, baby, one more time. Give me satisfaction now. I can give you so much thing. I just need to touch your skin. Yeah, like this, baby.
Well, folks, I think you have noticed in the past when I've mentioned kind of mechanical things I want to do, I'm not mechanically inclined. And my car broke down again. This time it broke down because I believe the alternator went bad. Initially, it did go bad during the block party that I had that I mentioned in episode 30. At the same time that all that's going on, my car won't start. And I actually, once I got it jumped, I had it running most of the time and all this kind of stuff. And people are like, "Oh, yeah, it's the alternator. Your alternator went bad." I'm like, okay. I'm trying to figure out how to get this done. And I'm like, hey, I could do it. It shouldn't be too difficult. Had I ever met myself? I don't think so. If I made a comment as dumb as that I'm going to try to fix the alternator. Well, first of all, what I do is I go online, I kind of figure out where it is. For me to change the alternator meant I would have had to remove the radiator, and then I could get it to a decent position, but also that would have meant I had to remove the grill and all the paneling in the front. Again, folks, not mechanically inclined. I didn't know how the heck I was going to find the screws to be able to pull off just the grill, let alone get it off, then get the radiator off without, like, leaking stuff everywhere, because I know you have to pour some liquid in there, or there is a liquid in the radiator somehow. So you notice, I don't even know what the heck I'm talking about, and I'm sitting there thinking, I can remove all these things and put them back together and my car will work. So needless to say, folks, I didn't take my car apart. I did take it in, I did get the radiator fixed, but because of what I did, I broke more things. Just jumping it and having it run and driving it over to the place that I took it, it went from the alternator to the alternator, voltage regulator, which I really didn't understand what it was until I got there, told the guy, and he's like, "Oh yeah, what that does is it makes sure that the battery gets a steady flow, not like peaks and all this," which is also why my voltage gauge like peaked out every so often. I mean, it would just boom all the way over to the side, and I get the check light coming on, and I'm like, "Oh crap, that might not be good." And I kept rolling down my windows to make sure that my car wasn't going to burst into flames. But yeah, that was broken too, so I had to get a new one of those. And then, let's see, so that's the alternator, the voltage meter. Oh yeah, because of all that I did, which really wasn't much, which is why I really should never try to work under the hood of a car again, I also fried out my brand new battery. Yes, folks, I had bought a battery maybe 3-4 months ago. I mean, it's been since I've done the show. I think I even mentioned it at one point. I fried it. So I have a new battery now, again. And the last thing that I did is I fried out the battery cables. So all this wiring and everything, I screwed it up so bad. This is why I should never be allowed to work near a car. Oh, yeah, and the guy also said, "You also need an oil change." I'm like, I kind of figured that when I was about, I think 10,000 miles over my 3,000 mile limit. So it had been 13,000 miles since I changed the oil. Those of you who are car people out there, I know you're just shaking your heads going, "What an idiot." And they let him on the road and they give him a podcast. Yeah, they do. And appropriated, which is even scarier. Okay, anyway. Yeah, so don't let me around your cars because I'll think I'm a mechanic and I'm not. Remember to change your oil about at least every 13,000 miles, if not sooner, like every 3. Otherwise, you might get big bills. which I did.
When I drink your honey, babe, I won't stop until the end. Need to feel you once again. Come on, baby, play my game. Yeah, like this, baby. Do me, baby.
Okay, for those of you who have a fish tank, and I know I've mentioned it before that we have a, it's like a 40 or 50 gallon fish tank. We have what's called a plecostomus. It's one of those big, ugly, prehistoric looking fishes. And what it does is it cleans the walls and everything. I mean, it is great to keep like a lot of algae off the walls because that's what this thing eats, and it eats it nonstop. Well, we've had our plecostomus since we had like a 10 gallon tank. And that was before we moved in here, and as it ate, it grew because there was a lot of algae, which made it eat even more, which made it grow even bigger, and so we had this huge thing. And my little girl calls it the big guy. I mean, you try to have a two-year-old say plecostomus. It took me 6 months to figure out how to say plecostomus. Now, I'm not going to try to make the little girl say plecostomus. I'm just going to make her say big guy. Because there's the biggest fish in there. It was also the ugliest fish in there. My wife would freak out every time she would have to like reach in and get a dead fish out of there. And the plecostomus would actually touch her. And she's like, it's freaky. Well, she told me the other day that, yes, the plecostomus is dead. Big guy is gone. But we cannot really say the big guy's dead because the little girl loves the big guy. So we have to spell it out the... It's like, honey, the B-I-G-G-U-I is D-E-A-D. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be fun. How do you get rid of this thing? I mean, this thing is big by now. And so what we do is we're playing with Play-Doh, and my little girl's playing with Play-Doh very intently. And then all of a sudden, I just get up, go and get it. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to put it in a Ziploc bag, throw it in the trash. Because the thing's too big to flush down the toilet. And my wife looks at me and is like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to throw it away. She's like, no, put it down the toilet. I'm like, no, the thing's big. Have you seen how big this thing is? And her response to me is like, I've had shits bigger than that. Yes, folks, my wife shits bigger than some fish. Anyway, she... I still get a kick out of it, just... Oh boy. But yeah, so she tells me to flush it, and I'm like, honey, it's gonna back up the toilet. She's like, no, it's not. It's not gonna back up the toilet. It will not back up the toilet. I'm like, honey, it's gonna back up the toilet because your shits are flexible. This is not. She's like, yeah, flush it. So I flush it. What happened? Backed up the toilet. And right now I need to go buy a snake, one of the plumbing snakes, so I can actually get it out or either shove it through the hole into the main piping or at least just get it out of the toilet. Because one thing I did say is we can't use this toilet till this fish decomposes. So I'm going to have a decomposing fish in my toilet unless I go out and get a snake, which I haven't been allowed to go get yet because she's just said no. But yet, folks, her shits are bigger than the fish. Well, folks, the other day, and I was on, I think it was Podcast Pickle, and I noticed that there was some comments about something or other, and I just need to give you some background before I really get into this story. When I was living in Japan, I was labeled as a nerd. And no, this is not my Japanese story or anything, but I was labeled as a nerd. I had the glasses. I kind of outgrew the label, but yet when I first got there, that's what everyone called me. So I've worked really hard to get away from being nerd. Geek and dork and all that kind of stuff, hey, I embrace those. Nerd, I always had a problem with, and I guess I still do. And then thinking, okay, I've moved beyond it. I'm a geek. I'm a dork. I'm a techno geek. I'll embrace those with open arms. But no, my past somehow catches up with me. And I find out that there's a new term out there. Podcast Nerdiness. Whoever invented that name, I want to shoot you and then run you over with my car that doesn't run because of I have a bad alternator and a bad battery, and then I'm going to shove a decomposing fish down your throat that I just pulled from my toilet. I've been trying to get away from being a nerd, and then you bring it right back, and now I'm a nerd again. So, yeah, I have podcast nerdiness. And now it just brings back all those memories, and I'm just, dude, no. So, yeah, you can add that to your new dictionary with, like, pod fading, podosphere, and now podcast nerdiness. Gee, thanks a lot. Do we get glasses and pocket protectors with that, or do we have special iPod protectors? Yay.
Come on, baby, one more time. I don't want to hear no lie. You want me inside your skin. Let me be your darkest sin. Yeah, like this, baby. To me, baby.
For a while now, my department has been up in arms, not really up in arms, but there's been kind of an uneasiness because we know we're going through a transition. And all this started with a teleconference, that's the word, a teleconference back on the day that I went to see baseball game from episode number 20. So we're looking at least 11 weeks ago, I think it might be 13 weeks ago. We've been up, just up in the air, not really knowing what's going on. And then all of a sudden, on Thursday, we get an email, a real subtle email that says, we're having... please join me. And it was like the vice president in charge of my, like my big boss with the big boss. I mean, these are people I normally don't see anyway, but they were sent out something to our whole department that said, join us for this teleconference at blah, 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 blah. It's 3:30. When you send out something like that, and if there's any managers who listen, listen up onto this one, because this really does make a lot of sense. Don't send a message out like that at 8:30 in the morning. The reason why I say that is it will shut your entire department down. My department has 6 locations. I mean, where I'm at, then there's another major location, then there's a few smaller satellite ones that we deal with all the time. I talk with most of these places, and I talked with most of them on that Thursday. Needless to say, no one was getting any work done because we're all wondering what the heck the announcement is. I did have my counterpart, because there's only 2 of us that do our job in our whole company. I mean, it's a worldwide company and there's only 2 positions. I have one of them and this other guy has the other. What he came up with was he was saying that they're going to introduce new coffee makers. So I kind of got a kick out of that. And I talked with someone else and we kind of figured there was a new paperclip supplier. Because if you ever watched MacGyver as a kid, you know, paperclips always were with whatever he was dealing with. It was always a paperclip that was in there. So you need the paperclips so that you can survive if the building blows up. And yeah. So needless to say, they kind of said, okay, here's what's going on with the department where we've decided to make all of these changes, none of which really affect me, but yet they kind of do because it's like now I have a new big boss. But yet at the same time, my job's the same as normal. No one got fired. No one got slammed on or anything. It was just one of these things where it's like, hey, look, if you would have made this decision and just kind of said, hey, look, we're going to meet in half an hour. Why didn't you do it in half an hour? Why did you have to say 3:30 and shut the whole department down for that amount of time? So managers, if there are any managers out there listening, don't ever do that. Because honestly, it just, no one will concentrate on their job until they find out what this is, because all of a sudden they're thinking, oh my God, I need to have my resume updated because I'm getting the pink slip award, and I just don't want to have to deal with that because I'm getting close to retirement and all this kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden you just kind of freak out and you just talk like this for a long, long time, and don't do that to your people. If you want them to be productive, just say half an hour. That gives them enough time to be able to think, and then to say, okay, what's going on? And then to get there. I mean, boom, done. Yeah, that's my manager's message for the week. And I'm not a manager.
I know you want it, so come and get it.
Occasionally we do video shoots in my department because we do have a few empty offices. So it makes it very convenient to come in and have people come in and do video shoots and everything. And it's also kind of coordinated with my department a little bit and like a weird roundabout way. But yet at the same time, it's very disruptive. The other day, we had a big shoot. I mean, we had actors in, we had a whole video crew and all this kind of stuff. And it was just kind of one of these things where you're like, holy crap, what the heck is going on? Who's this for? Am I going to get an Oscar? Well, that last question was just for me because I wanted to be like an extra and then get like the best extra Oscar, which they don't have yet. But I would nominate it to be happening. And I'm going to tangent again because I wanted that Oscar. So, yes, vote for me on that. Oh, hey, my phone's going off. I will hold on a second and I'm going to pause this. And I'm back, and the phone's not ringing anymore. Now I completely forgot where I was at, but I remember I was kind of talking something like this where it's really fast, and I had no idea why I was talking so fast. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask for an Oscar. So if anyone's out there who's in the Academy, why don't we have an Oscar for, like, the extras? I mean, that would be cool, because then I'd try to get in, like, every movie that's here in Chicago, and I don't know why I'm talking so fast. I've not had anything. The last thing I had that was considered a stimulant would have been a lot of alcohol last night, and... Okay, I'm just going to shut up and get back onto my subject. And I don't know why I'm in one of those moods today. I'm walking through my department, and we have kind of a studio/kitchen area, which we do for, like, just talking head kind of things, where you shoot someone, and it's usually a three-quarter shot. You get a little bit above the head, and just... right at the bust line. Pretty much what it's called in the industry is the nipple line. Not referring to anything sexual or anything. It's just saying men and women have nipples. That's roughly where your shot ends. So it's that. It's considered a talking head. And pardon my sniffing, folks. I think I'm coming down with a cold, or I'm leaving a cold, or I have allergies. I don't know. But yeah, you'll hear me sniffing throughout the whole episode. And I'm tangenting again. So anyway, we normally do these kind of shots there, but what this shoot was doing was something completely different, and I'm walking by that door. I saw a sight I never wanted to see at work. Some guy's naked ass in my kitchen for my department. With the door wide open, it's like, why don't you just close the door? Once you're in there, you can get out. You just can't get in because it's a locked, sealed door that you need certain passcodes, blah, blah, blah. Because there is all this video equipment in there, you have to protect it. But needless to say, folks, I'm walking by, just doing my normal thing. I'm going to talk to someone, and I just happen to look off to the right. And boom! Naked ass. And it's a guy's naked ass. I don't want to see that. I was just... Yeah, what are the things you don't want to see at work? It's a guy's naked ass in your department kitchen. Because I was not having butt steak that day.
I know you want it, so come and get it. It's rock and roll, babe. Let's rock and roll.
Folks, I know you've heard me talk about things that kind of freak me out. Spiders, snakes, and needles. Those three things, my wife digs in on me whenever she gets the opportunity to. I found out what freaks her out. I've been married to her for 6 years. I was dating her for about a year and a half before that. So we're talking roughly 8.5 to 9 years that I've known my wife. I finally found out what freaks her out. Crickets. I don't know anyone who's afraid of crickets until my wife's like, there was a cricket that was in our house and it was a cricket that was in the house, and I'm sorry, I'm just jumping back and forth, and I'm sorry. There's a cricket that was loose in the house, and we tried to flush it down the toilet, and that was also the time that I'm trying to plunge it because the big guy was stuck in the toilet, so the cricket kept crawling up the plunger stick. Oh, boy, it was... But my wife was like, oh, there's a cricket, there's a cricket, there's a cricket, and she's freaking out. Like, it's, like, stereotypically you see women freak out about mice. My wife doesn't, it doesn't faze her to see a mouse or anything. Not that we've seen one in our house, but it doesn't freak her out. And she sees spiders, and she tries to play with them and get them over to me so that I freak out. And I just step on them. But she's even freaked out to step on them because she's like, they're crunchy when you step on them. And ew. I'm like, honey, what's wrong? It's a cricket. I found my revenge. Crickets. Now, folks, you got to help me out with this because I have roughly 8 years of catching up to do with how to freak out my wife. On what she's gotten me on spiders and snakes. And you remember the episode, folks, I'm sure you do, where she was going, you're getting a shot, you're getting a shot, blah, 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 blah. I need my revenge, folks. How do I get her with crickets? I've already done the where you were laying in bed and just kind of watching TV. And I'm like, honey, there's a cricket. And she freaked out. But I can't do that all the time because she's going to catch on really quick. I need your help into telling me how I can also kind of freak her out. Maybe without actually getting a cricket there, but I need to just, like, the circumstances and everything that I can get it so that she'll jump. I need the revenge, folks. I know marriage is blah, 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 blah. No, we're competitive, and I need my revenge on this one.
Come on, baby, one more time. Give me satisfaction now. I can give you so much pain. I just need to touch your skin. Yeah, like this, baby.
Well, folks, I've been planning on doing this review for a while, and for some reason, I always kept forgetting, but I don't know why I should have. This is one of the better podcasts out there, and it's one that's actually pretty close to me. I would say they're no more than 90 miles away from my house to where they do their podcast. And who is it, folks? It's Red Boy, featuring Absolute Amy. Well, I know why I didn't review the last two episodes, because they always seem to get into a fight right towards the end, so, and it was actually pretty funny to listen to it. But it's a married couple, Red Boy and Absolute Amy. Yeah, those two. And they just kind of tell you a little bit about what's going on in their lives down there, but they do have some interesting features. They do have commercials, which I'm going to put one in right here. This was actually one of my favorites, so it was funny that I heard it, and I just think this is hysterical. So why don't you listen to this, which Red Boy and Absolute Amy had produced, and actually one of their kids is in it.
Mom and Dad, are you tired of this?
I want a piggy.
I want to go outside.
She's got some toys.
Well, your solution is here. New from your friends at Redcorn Labs, it's the Tyke Taser. The Tyke Taser will turn this...
But they did it first.
...into this.
I'm going to watch TV. Ow.
With its gentle 1.21 gigawatt shock, the Tyke Taser helps calm even the most rowdy, chatty child into submission.
I'm hungry. Give me something to eat.
Ah, the silence. Mom, Dad, you need some quiet time after a long day. Let the Tyke Taser turn crying time into quiet time. The Tyke Taser. Only from Redcorn Industries. Tyke Taser not to be used internally. May cause minor skin abrasions, swelling, and contusions. Tyke Taser may be illegal in certain jurisdictions and could be considered abuse by some left-wing commie pinkos.
Tyke Taser! Ow.
Yes, the Tyke Taser. I love that commercial. But that gives you a little bit of the sense of humor that these two have. Also, they do something called the earworm. And they will put in just this little kind of maybe 2 to 3 second piece that is just something that gets stuck in your head. The past two haven't really, well, no, the last one actually got it that I had to watch VH1's Top 20 Countdown because that stupid song was stuck in my head. Thanks, Matt, a.k.a. Red Boy. But, see, that's what he does, is he gets this little earworm stuck in your head, and you're stuck with it all day, and you just kind of sit there and it's like, no, don't, no, duh. So, yeah, so you have that, and that's actually one thing that they use a lot. And sorry, I'm moving around and I'm bumping things. And so, but yeah, hey, that actually fits right in because they do it from their dining room table and bring you this excellent show. I mean, it's the two of them, a slice of life from Middle Illinois. Even though in the beginning of the show it says Illinois. That is not how the state is pronounced. But I digress once again. So, yeah, but yeah, I mean, listening to these two, it is like you're listening to a couple friends tell you just about some funny stories that happened because it's... the energy level and the chemistry the two of them have, even when they're arguing with each other, is actually really good. You just cannot top the banter. And they're always kind of a little bit after each other. They kind of take little swipes at each other here and there, and it is just hysterical listening to these two constantly go at it and yet bring you up to speed on what's going on. And it's just a lot of fun listening to the Red Boy podcast. It's one of those that when it comes out, it's instantly listened to on my end. And they also come out on a different schedule than most people. Most shows come out usually Sunday, Monday, somewhere in that range. The Red Boy podcast has always come out on a Thursday night. So it's great. It gives me that show that is definitely top of my list, and I don't have to have it compete with other shows where it's like, oh man, which show do I listen to? I have this one, I have this one, I have this one, I have Red Boy, I have blah, blah, blah. Which show do I listen to? You don't have to worry about that, folks, because this is actually on an off schedule, which was brilliant to come up with. So, yeah, listen to the Red Boy and Absolute Amy podcast. And I'm, even though it's just the Red Boy podcast, you have to say Absolute Amy because, hey, without it, it would just be half a show. If that makes any sense. Their last show was 50% happier, though, so. You have to listen to the show, folks. To get that last one, yeah. Listen to the last three to get that little joke. But anyway, yeah, it's the Red Boy podcast featuring Absolute Amy. And check them out at www.redboypodcast.com. And if you're a first-time listener, which I'm sure you're not, but hey, if you are anyway, let them know that the Barely Podcasting Podcast sent you over.
Are you looking for wholesome, witty banter from the cornfields?
Is it the Midwest part that's angering me?
I don't know why this is angering you. Who cares?
Midwest slice of life you all need in your boring 9-to-5 lives.
I ain't no holla back girl, okay?
White boy Roy over here.
It's the Red Boy Podcast featuring Absolute Amy.
Podcast gone wild. Lift your shirt.
I thought this was supposed to be wholesome Midwestern fun.
Hey. It looks good, though, when you play with it.
It's Red Boy and Absolute Amy, a couple podcasting almost live from a dining room somewhere in central Illinois. To get all the information you'll ever need, go to redboypodcast.com.
I'm going to do an American Idol update. Yeah. Give me another beer, and I'll sing some hairband music for you.
Try getting that on your morning radio.
Well, speaking of things I'm missing.
Your hair?
Sir.
Come check out the podcast, Red Boy featuring Absolute Amy at redboypodcast.com.
So check us out. We'll check you out checking us out.
I need the sun.
Because I'm that big of a geek.
Barely's time in Japan. No wonder they call us ugly Americans. Yes, folks, the lame music means that it's time for the Japanese talk a little bit. And, oh boy, I really do need to get a better intro to this. I also need to get a better segue into the review section, too. But I'll deal with that later. Unless, of course, you folks out there want to tell me, hey, I got this great thing that you can use and blah, 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 and here it is, and I love it. And yeah, last time I asked for things like that, it took me a few months to actually start getting something. So, hey, maybe in a few months I'll have a new intro thing to this. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about this time was being a foreigner and having to deal with medical issues. Because the Japanese, at least when I was there, I really do hope this has changed since I've left. But if you were not part of the military or you were not part of the State Department, which is usually the people at the embassy, then you had to deal with Japanese doctors. And the problem with this was every so often at school, there would be a kid who would just disappear for like a month. And the reason why he disappeared is he had to go to detox. Not that he was a druggie or anything like that. He got hooked on drugs because he was following the doctor's prescriptions on a medicine because he might have gotten sick or broken a leg or something like that and was on painkillers or something along those lines. And the doctor figured, well, the Americans are bigger than us, so we're going to prescribe more. Needless to say, they would always like double or triple the normal dosage, so you had these people who were getting strung out on pain medications because that's what the doctor ordered. It was kind of one of those things. Everyone lived in fear of having to go to the doctor because you knew you'd have to go to detox afterwards. And we never knew which drug would hit it. Fortunately, I never had to. I was fortunate to be pretty healthy. I even played football and did not have to go to the doctor. I did all my medical stuff here in the States. But because of those stories, if there was something that could wait, I mean, even if you were in like a little bit of discomfort, you would always wait until a break in school so that you could get back to the States to go to a doctor. I mean, talk about ridiculous, folks. You had to wait. You can have like just an irritation or something that was just really hurting you for a month, because that's when you could get back to the States and go to a regular doctor. Otherwise, you'd miss a month of school because you're in detox. And on top of it, you would probably still have this pain of whatever was going on. So it was more than once that on like a Christmas vacation, we flew around the world because someone had to go see the doctor and we just tacked it on to the end of the vacation. And you think when I say fly around the world, I'm being figurative. No, there was one Christmas, and I'll probably go into it a little bit more in depth, where we literally flew. Let's see, we went from Tokyo to Hong Kong to New Delhi to London to Chicago to Seattle to Tokyo. That's literally around the world, folks. Because we had to tack on a doctor's appointment. Oh, boy. I mean, just talk about one of those weird things where you have to tack on a doctor's appointment, so you have to literally fly halfway around the world. And New Delhi from Chicago is pretty much halfway around the world, and we had to do that. I mean, that's just... talk about a pain in the rear, but fortunately, I never had to go see a doctor until the end of my time there. And when we were there, at the time, we were saying, okay, well, the FDA has not approved the chickenpox vaccine. I've never had the chickenpox. So what we did was we found a doctor that was kind of Americanized and kind of knew what to do. And if we had found this guy sooner, we wouldn't have to do a circle the damn globe. But I digress again. But what happened was he gave us the shot for the chickenpox vaccine. Well, this was like 4 or 5 years before it was ever approved by the FDA. They were just beginning trials, whereas Japan said, yeah, that's a good idea, let's go with it. Now I understand, folks, why the FDA is a good thing. I had this vaccine when I was 16. When I'm 31, I went into my doctor. And I'm like, well, yeah, I did have the chickenpox vaccine. And they're like, well, let's just double check. No, I didn't have the antibodies for the chickenpox vaccine. So needless to say, I had to have a shot in Japan with the chickenpox vaccine in it that didn't work. So I had to come back and 17 years later have it again and have to have two shots. I just lost on that whole thing. But, yeah, they approve things a little bit quicker over there, too. But, yeah, I digress. And that's pretty much wrapping up this medical thing on Japan and their medical thingy-dingies, at least with foreigners. Of course it'd be foreigners. Well, I would be telling it from, like, yes, I'm a Japanese person, and this is the way we do it. No, of course not. Okay, I'm going to shut up now.
Rock me, baby!
Well, folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for me today. There actually has been a lot of activity in the emails and on the website. And for those people who've gone through and just given messages of support, I really, really do appreciate it. Again, if you don't understand what I'm referring to, please go back and check out the website at www.barelypodcasting.com. Look at the message before, that's after 31, or episode 30, but before 31, so it'd be sandwiched right in between there. You'll fully understand what I mean at that point. And so you'll understand why I've been maybe a little bit off today, but hey, I thought it was a good show. I had a lot of fun doing it today, so... And I'm on schedule. That's always good. But I am such a dork. Most of those messages I'm not going to be able to really state here, but I do want to thank everybody for sending in their support. I definitely do appreciate it. I do want to say that I did have one other email that came in. It was from Corby from the Twisted Pickle. And as I read this, it took me 3 times to read it aloud before I could get through it without laughing hysterically. Even more than I normally laugh anyway, so I figured I'll give it a shot. But yeah, it's from Corby from the Twisted Pickle. And he says, "Man, you made me laugh my butt off this morning. First off, baby girl and I were having a rather rough morning. I couldn't get her out of bed. She didn't want to get dressed. By the time I got her ready to go, we had no time to spend with each other before leaving for daycare. It was basically straight into the car." Corby, I fully appreciate what you mean by that, because when my wife and I both work on the same days, we're in the same situation. So yes, I fully appreciate that. I fully understand what you mean. And then he goes on to say, "This made me crabby because I like to spend at least some time being daddy in the morning. And because she was being a butthead and wouldn't climb into her car seat so I could buckle her in, I was getting extra crabby. When we backed out of the driveway, I was hit by a blinding evil sun," which I hate. I'm adding that, but I kind of figured that's how he was writing it. "And therefore made me extra crabby. Because it was so bright in the direction that we were driving, everyone in Omaha also seemed to be going the same way. Couldn't see crap, and therefore traffic was slow." Corby, on this point, oh, I feel for you, brother. I feel for you because I get that both ways, and just ticks me off. Okay, but back to, "Consequently, I dropped several asshole, damn it, and son of a, to which my baby punctuated from the back seat with bitch." Good to know she's at least knowing how the phrase goes. "And then your part of the show where you're talking about your dad and all you were hearing was shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, came on, and baby girl, who we've been trying to stop from saying shut up, started to repeat it over and over just like you. I could have strangled you." Hey, Corby, if you're listening with your baby girl now, Corby, baby girl, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Yeah, see, I just egg it on. And you wonder why my wife wants to beat me sometimes. So, and he continues on. I mean, it keeps going. So I'm getting a kick. I love this email. This was one of my favorites in a while. But he said, "So I dropped the kid off and headed to work. And then the part of your show where your wife wanted the orange thing that helps you throw up, I laughed so hard I almost stopped breathing. My own quick story. I once had a dream that I had come across a load of gold. Life-changing money, you know? Anyway, my wife told me the next day that I had woken her in the middle of the night and told her I put the gold loot under my armpit so when we wake up we can find it again and be rich. And then I crashed right back to sleep. I don't remember waking up and telling her this, though. Anyway, keep up the good work. Corby." Hey, Corby, you put it under my armpit. That's why I'm podcasting. Maybe that's the orange thing my wife was telling me about, because, you know, gold's kind of the cold orangish yellow. Maybe. Wait a minute. That means, Corby, you're talking with my wife subliminally when you sleep, so I'm going to come to Omaha and kick your ass. And nah. I won't do that, but if you are talking to my wife subliminally, tell her that she needs to, you know, the husband-wife kind of thing. We need to do that more often. So why don't you tell her that and quit with the goal or with the orange things that make you puke thing. Yeah. Okay. I am such a dork, folks. I don't know where I come up with some of these stupid ideas. But yes, I do have dumb ideas, and I keep them going. Also, I had one comment on the website, which is at www.barelypodcasting.com, and it was actually from Red Boy, and he says his dad also went to the PGA tourney also, and he heard you blah, blah, blah all over the course. Sorry, Red Boy's father. I didn't mean to. So I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up. I don't have any new Frapper submissions this week that I know of. No, I do not. I just flipped onto it. So yeah, hey, if you're listening and you're not on the Frapper, join the Frapper so you know where everyone else is being barely entertained from. Hey, barely entertained. Boom, boom. I'm getting good at those. Okay, folks, I know I did say a while ago that I wasn't going to be saying, vote for me here, vote for me there, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's a new award out. It is the Podcast Peer Awards, and you can find them over at www.podcastpeer.org. It's pretty much an award as of saying who are the best podcasters by podcasters, saying, okay, these are some of the better ones out there. Believe it or not, this show got nominated. So if you're a podcaster, go over and check out all the other podcasts that have been nominated. What happens is the nominations happen for twice a year, and they're different categories each year. And somehow I got put into the newbie category. Well, I know how it happened was when the initial vote went out, I got nominated under newbie because I was fitting the category of under 4 months. They've been kind of weeding out a bunch of shows between now and then, and there were some excellent shows that didn't make it. So hopefully you'll get over there, you'll vote for the ones you like this time, and then for the winter nominations, you can get in on that and make sure some of these shows that should be nominated and be recognized get that recognition. So yeah, everyone, head over to, if you're a podcaster, head over to podcastpeers.org, sign up, and vote for your favorite shows. I can tell you right now that Barely Podcasting is up against some excellent shows in the newbie category. Believe it or not, I'm subscribed to every one of them. Talk about a hard vote to do, because I honestly thought there were a couple that were better than mine, and now all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, I have to decide. And it was just a hard vote to do. But you have Armchair President, The Wicked Good Podcast, The Pod Safe Comedy Countdown, My Show, Barely Podcasting, and Bucket. I mean, those are all the shows that are in the newbie category, and we're all going for this award saying, hey, look, we're the best newbie out there. So, I mean, talk about a tough one to try to figure out if you're going to win or not, and against all of those, and I am subscribed to every one of them. And there's other categories where you have this as well. So, yeah, again, go over to podcastpeers.org, sign up. You have to be a podcaster. You have to have had so many shows in the past amount of time so that it does say that, yes, you are a podcaster. But it is really is like the Oscars. So, yeah, go to podcastpeers.org and vote for someone. Vote for your favorite show. If it happens to be mine, then, hey, I'm really happy you did that. If not, get over there and vote anyway. It's really cool, and namely because I'm in it this time. Okay, that's enough of my plug. And yeah, now I toot my own horn too, and now I'm just going to flop on the next one. So anyway, I'm just going to give you the ways to get in touch with me. You can go over to the website at www.barelypodcasting.com. You can check out, while you're there at the website, you can leave a voicemail comment in the My Chingo section if you have a microphone hooked up. You can leave me a text message, which is also there right below the My Chingo. Just enter your name and a message, and boom, it gets right there. I check it a lot. So, yeah, we can actually communicate. You can leave a comment on any show. And also, you can find out ways to listen. You can listen directly from the website or not. You can also email me at barely@barelypodcasting.com, as well as you can leave me a voicemail. And I didn't get any this week, but, hey, that's cool anyway, which is at 206-984-DORK, which is, for those of you who have a problem trying to figure out where all the letters are, that would be 206-984-3675, which spells out dork. I'm such a dork. And the music you've been listening to is the song Rock Me by McCain, and you can find them over at music.podshow.com. And I think that's pretty much it. That's going to wrap it up for me today, folks. And thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And I will see you all next week. How the hell can I do any work with this?
We'll be right back.